pray for the preacher tonight, and that you would just pray that he would be able to follow the Lord. And, you know, during this service, if you feel led in any way to follow him, it's not out of order to follow the Lord however he leads you. And so I just want to encourage God's people to do that. And if we do that, it'll be a successful service tonight. God will be pleased and glorified. If there's nothing further at this time, I'll turn the pulpit over to Brother Steve.
Scripture lesson this evening is found in the book of 1 John, for 4th chapter. I probably will read the entire chapter, rather lengthy reading, but content I wished for us to consider is scattered throughout it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and ever and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God is loved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love not one another, God dwelleth in us. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Whereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. I'd like to take the 16th verse of that chapter as our beginning point this evening. I suppose we'd call it our text. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. My title this evening is Again, true saving religion is a religion of love. Same religion we talked about last night, but a different facet of it. If you don't have love, a love that you can't generate, a love that is put there by God, you don't have salvation. Love is like spiritual religion. It's an absolute necessity. Love is the answer to God's requirement of us. You see, in the beginning, what we are to do, God has one requirement, and that is obedience. You might say, I thought this was the age of faith. Yes, it is. We have to have faith in the one who obeyed, absolutely. Our father, the first Adam, failed in that. The second Adam, Jesus, came and he kept the law and was righteous without any error and was totally and completely obedient. The scriptures use the term obedient even to the death on the cross. And so his obedience, when we have faith in him and repent of our sins, becomes our obedience and becomes our righteousness. It is imputed unto us. I don't think there'll be a man in heaven there on his own merit. Right. Only in our belief in Jesus. Now, there's a place for works. We might get to that one night. That's another facet of true saving religion. But tonight, we want to look at love. It's an absolute necessity, and it is a core part of salvation. I think you can measure, or you can examine whether or not you're saved as to whether or not you have that love. You see, that is God's requirement of it. He says, you know, God, I think, made a law implicitly to man, and then that was codified in the Mosaic law. And Moses went and got 10 commandments written on tablets of stone. And then Jesus came, and he brought those out in 2 commandments. And he said, in these 2 fall all the others. If you keep these 2, you don't have to worry about the 10 commandments. And you know what? They involve a feeling. These people that say there's no feeling to religion have totally missed religion. Because God says, Jesus said when he asked what the great commandment was, he said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, heart, soul, and strength. That is God's commandment to us. And so true saving religion has to be a religion of love if we're going to go to heaven, because we have to fulfill that obedience. Again, we don't do it of our own strength and power and virtue. We do it through Jesus, who so loved us that he died on the cross. And we have faith in what he's done. And that, as the preacher's already mentioned tonight, that he did it for me. He said the second to that, second only to that, is that you love your fellow man as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on this, all the commandments fall. Those are a feeling. But if you have true love, all of the laws of this flesh will fall in place. You'll fulfill them. If you truly love God, you'll not take his name in vain. You'll not have another God before him. And so forth, and go on. Now, if it's love, we have to examine, first of all, what the objects and the nature of that love is. First, our love is first and paramount to God. Unless so, you don't love the Lord because you're turning them away. I'm not making fun of you. I'm not saying you're less than anybody else. We were all in that condition. Amen. It is our nature, being sinners, to rebel against God. Amen. In fact, that old man is so strongly built into us that we have to die to sin. Amen. And then God makes us new, and he makes us in the likeness of his Son, and we have the capacity to know that God loves us, and maybe more important, to love God. Because we have a new soul that's holy and kept by the Spirit of God, and we have a new heart with which that we can feel. The scripture says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. There are many reasons and lots of facets why that we should love God. What a love him in a filial sense. How did Jesus teach us to pray? Our Father who art in heaven. He is our eternal Father. I think you feel that when you get saved. There's only one being that is self-existent. Boy, I can't put my mind around that. God is self-existent. Man. He always has been, He is, and He always shall be. I can't put my mind around that either. I just have to accept it. But I am, as Paul said, what I am by the grace of God. And I was born again into the family of God. We don't receive the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but we receive the spirit of adoption. Amen. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father, for the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we shall be glorified together with Him. Amen. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Why? Because we are the children of God. Amen. So the first relationship that we have with God is that He is our Father, because we are born again. The moment you get saved, you can pray, you can bow upon your knees and say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you can mean it. It's just not a speech that you make. You can say it from the depths of your soul. Amen. What a privilege. God takes us a wretched sinner and He saves us. And at the same time, He saves us from hell and the torment of God. At the same time, He adopts us into His very own family. Amen. He just doesn't take the sin away, but He fills us with the righteousness of His Son and makes us a member of His very own family. And we have the privilege of eating at His table. Amen. And we will dwell in His house for all of eternity. Got to move on. Secondly, we should love Him from a reverential sense. We should reverence Him. Because He is God. The Lord God, high and lofty. There is none that is above Him. He is absolute. We should love Him for that, if for no other reason. I pray that God would impress that upon us every day of our life, that we'd understand what a wonderful God it is that we serve. Amen. And we owe Him our love. We can love Him in great confidence. We can trust in Him. I am really thankful for the people that have been in my life, all of my life. There have been a few people along that have disappointed me, and I've disappointed my friends. I'm afraid far too many times. My parents loved me, but you know, and I think they intended good, but their resources were limited. And they weren't perfect even in their love toward me, but there is a God who is. Amen. And I can love Him confidentially for what He has done. I can love Him for the relationship that I have with Him today and what I know that He will do in the future. Man. If we have that kind of confidence in Him, then we ought to love Him. We ought to love Him gratefully. The scriptures say, the psalmist said, come into His presence with thanksgiving. We ought to always have thanksgiving upon our heart. We may live the very dregs of life, but if you've been saved, you've got it all. Because this world of sin, this world, this life is just a few days and full of trouble. And you know, I'm getting old enough that life looks real short. I don't mean the future, I mean the past. I go to church on Sunday and I turn around and it's Sunday again. I don't know where all the time goes. And you know, I have a finite number of days. And by nature, I've already lived the great majority of them. And I'm grateful for what He's done. I've been grateful the last couple of days being here, and there's been some memories that have flooded into my heart, into my mind, and I thank the Lord. Not just here, but other places. God has given me much richness in my life, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful most of all that He saw me as a lost boy. I've been, the last 20 years, I've traveled a little bit into different countries. And, you know, you look out and there's just a sea of little faces, and And the vast majority of them have probably never heard the gospel that I heard. We go there to try to get an opportunity to carry that gospel to them. But I think, why is it, God, that you place me in a home with two people that love the Lord and felt it a responsibility to keep me in the Word of God and under the gospel? Surely I have every reason to be grateful to God for the life that I've lived. Oh, so much for that that He has ahead. As we look at the Word of God and we read the promises of God, we can say, that's mine. And I ought to bow upon my knees. I ought to love the Lord more out of gratitude for what He has done, what it is today that I have this privilege today, and what He has out there.
Amen.
If we don't have any other reason, we ought to thank the Lord because we're grateful. Sometimes we get close enough to the Lord, we learn enough about Him that we can love Him from sheer delight. Got any good friends you like that you just really like to be around? I do. I've got some of them in this room. But I tell you, there's nobody, there's no being that's any more delightful than being with the Lord. That's what Adam lost when he sinned, was that sweet communion with God every day. But Jesus came and made a way where that we could have access to God Himself. Yeah. And we can delight that He is my God. I don't drop names too much, but we got a friend. She's a black woman. She's about 58, and she kind of never held any offices, and she ran for state representative, I think, and got beat. A year and a half ago, she got mixed up, not mixed up, but she was a friend of Matt Bevin, and she's lieutenant governor of the state of Kentucky. I like her politics. She looks at things a lot like I do. I like to be around her. But a whole lot rather be around God. Whole lot rather be around God. He has absolute sovereign power, and He's my God. He's my friend. He loves me, and God has put in my heart a love for Him.
Amen.
And we should delight. You know, there's lots of things about Jesus. You can study His offices and His duties and His and the powers that He has. But He is a person. He's a person. And when you get saved, you get to know Him. But you know, when you learn to know somebody, you yearn to know them better. And we can look at His Word, and His Word from one end to the other, in the Old Testament in type form. In the Gospels, is according to the records that the things that He spoke here. We read about the church that He established after that. We get a picture of the prophecy of Him coming back. We ought to delight in Him. In fact, He told us when He left, He said, you stand watching. Watching for what? Watching for His return.
Amen.
Yes, for a great day and we're saved, but our Savior is coming back. The one that we love, the one that has filled our soul. Oh, my dear friend, lost soul, I pray that tonight you might get to know my Savior.
Amen.
He is the most delightful person that you can know. And yes, He is a person. Soul and body, He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Just because I can't see Him doesn't mean that He is. As He was preparing His disciples for His departure, He said, don't be afraid. He said, you believe in God, you believe in my Father, you've never seen Him. Believe also in me when I go away. You believe my Father all these centuries, and now I'm going away, and you believe in Him, so you believe in me. And by His Spirit and by His witness, we can do that. And not only can we believe Him, we love Him. And we can delight in Him. Secondly, we are to love God's people. God's people. I'll have to admit, they're a little harder to love. You know, because God's perfect. And much as I love y'all, there's not a one of you that's perfect. And God will get between us if one. I ask you that you petition God every day to be in this church and keep your bond of love together. Peter said, with all diligence, add to your faith virtue and the virtue of knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness to get to where you want to go, charity. We go through all that and not have brotherly love with the devil, have us where he wants. It is necessary for us not only to love the Lord, but to love one another. Especially, we're talking about here, God's children. We have more in common than any group of people on the face of this earth. We have more in common with our brethren that are in heaven than we do anybody else in this city. All that separates us from them to them is just that brittle thread of life. We could be with them that quickly. We are to love one another. We are to love one another manifestly. We are to do so. We are to do so absolutely, just not in word and just not in perfection, but from the very depths of our heart. And brethren, it is even worth our prayer to God that he would give that and that he would preserve that, because that is absolutely something that Satan will work on if we allow him to. I'm not saying you need to. I'm just warning, we need to do that every day. We need to ask God to preserve our love to him. You know, God or Satan can get in there and we can get crossways with God. Maybe you've never gotten crossways with God. I have. It's not a very good feeling. Sometimes I don't delight in him like I would like to and like I should. Thirdly, we need to love all people. We need to embrace all people. We are to embrace our neighbor. We are to love him as ourself. He may despise us. He may hate us. It is our duty to love him. Jesus just came out and said, love your enemies. If he's hungry, feed him. This love is absolutely essential to saving religion. If you don't have this love, if you don't know what it is, I strongly advise you to examine yourself. Better than that, get on your knees and ask God to examine you. Even we as God's children need to do that. Lord, search my ways and see if there's any wicked way in me. I don't know about you, but I find that a hard thing to do, because I know some things that God's going to point out. If you want God's love and you want to get close to him, you'll be ready to come to him and say, Lord, search my ways and see if there's any wicked way in me. When we get saved, there's some vast changes in us. I've mentioned we have a new soul. We have a new heart with which that we can feel. And we are born after the likeness of Jesus. Now, there's lots of things about us that should resemble Jesus. And we ought the rest of our lives look in the Word of God and study Jesus and his precepts and try to make our outer life, as much as we can, congruent with that of Jesus. Amen. We ought to truly be Christians, Christ-like. But the thing that we are most first and most like Jesus is love. Love. When we get saved, we have the capacity, a new capacity, to love God. Now, we can either nurture that or we can push it away. Our soul's going to love God. It can't change. But this body, it needs our heart. You know, you may notice I separate the soul and heart. I have to because of scripture. I can read all kinds of places in there. If you're saved, you can have evil in your heart. Amen. And that doesn't fit being saved. I mean, it doesn't fit the soul. It tells me the soul's secure, so they got to be separate in my book. Now, I can't separate all that like I'd like to, but I'm satisfied that the soul and the heart's different, because one can sin and one can't. And Satan seeks to gain control over our heart. Jesus says, back in the Old Testament, he says, son, my son, give me thine heart. He was talking to a saved man. My son, give me thine heart. He wants our heart. If you can give him your heart by manifesting a love in that heart for him, the life will come around. It'll follow that. If we have love, It comes by the Holy Spirit. And our life will bear the fruit of the Spirit. And you remember what the first one of those was? Love. Next is joy, and so on and so forth. But the first one, the first thing that will be yielded when we follow after the Spirit is love. I don't think that's necessarily, I'm pretty sure it's not referring just to the love that we get when we get saved. You ever notice when church gets right, you get right, that you love your brother? I mean, the first youth weekend we had. You know, everybody talks about the age gap between parents and children, teenagers. Can't leave your name now, blank sheet of paper. Anyway, big old kid up hugging his mama. I just got that imprinted in my mind. I thought, well, there goes the gender gap. They were hugging one another, not because of his mom and son, but because they were brother and sister. And she had taught him about the Lord, and he loved her. And he expressed that day. There was a lot of love expressed among brethren and for lost souls. Mamas for children and children for mamas and daddies. You live after the Spirit, you will yield fruit, a lot of it. And what will be most predominant is love. This is a very special fruit. It is a necessary badge of Christian discipleship. Jesus said this while he was here. He said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." It doesn't require identity with every identical religious feature. We may disagree on some things. I moved south. There's a lot of things the way they practice. I don't mean big things. I mean little things. It's different. Don't call on women to pray. I think they're dismissing half the labor force themselves. I know what the scriptures say, and I have an opinion about what it means. I'm not going down there and try to change them. I did pass the church where I said, I want to have Wednesday night Bible study if you all want. I said, I'd like to go out and fellowship, Paul. Two reasons. Number one, I want to seat the chairs in a circle so you all participate. And they did. And I said, the second reason is we're not in the sanctuary. And if you all don't object, I'm going to call on women to pray. If they pray, they really pray. I'm not saying they're wrong. We may be dead wrong here. I don't know. It's just different. We don't have to be absolutely perfect and all the same. We don't have to have a uniformity of our worship. What we do have to have is love for one another. Had an experience here. We had an event. Okay? Wasn't a church event, but it was held here. We were all down in the basement, and it was people where they could interact with one another. And the person that was performing a function, a service for this function that we were doing, was a friend of mine through other places in church. He didn't belong here at all. And so he was there, and I wanted to feel welcome, so I went over and talked to him. And he said, "Steve, I really like being here." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because everybody loves everybody else." My heart just fluttered, and I thanked the Lord. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. Now, you all haven't always been, I'm sure you're not now, exactly where we ought to be. But people ought to come in here, and we fellowship together. They ought to see there's a special bond, a bona fide love. We're going to have difference among us. We're not all going to be best friends, but we're going to love everybody, especially God's children. You know, people won't know us by the by anything other than that. In fact, when the Lord came, and boy, this is important. This doesn't happen every day. Jesus gave a new commandment. Woo! These 10 commandments can come from Moses. And then Jesus conditioned, they'd already been in the Old Testament as far as that's concerned. But he reiterated them. But Jesus brought a new one. Now, why would Jesus bring a new one? Because he referenced this to himself. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That wasn't new. As I have loved you, Amen. That ye also love one another. Now, how did he love us? He loved us so much that he died for us. He hadn't died yet, but he was going to, and they knew it. So when he died, oh, I can't help but they thought of that. Now that's loving somebody. And that's our commandment, to love one another as he loved us. The chief feature of our resemblance to Christ is love. There's lots of other things that ought to recommend us to men as being a Christian, but I think first and foremost is love. Because, as we read to you in the reading, God is love. Now, I'm going to back off just a minute. God is love, but a lot of people misunderstand that. They misapply that. They say, well, God is love, and he wouldn't send anybody to hell. That is not so. He loves everybody. He would that no man would perish. But if people do not repent, if they do not believe in his Son who came and lived a perfect life and God the Father bruised on their behalf, if they will not believe that, they will be doomed for all of eternity to the torment of God for the sin of unbelief. Amen. Listen to that lost soul. That's what will send you to hell. It's not believing in Jesus Christ. Oh, you're a sinner. You were born a sinner and you sin more every day. But God gives you the opportunity to repent. He gives you the opportunity to believe. And if you reject that, there's no remedy. That's the only plan of salvation there is. There's just one. There's not plan A, B, and C. There's one. Repent and perish. Repent or perish. This love is totally indispensable in fellowship with God. That's what we lost, remember, in the garden. I mentioned that a while ago, fellowship with the Lord. If you don't have fellowship with God, you've got to have love. If you don't love the Lord, you cannot have fellowship with him. That means if you're not saved, you can't communicate with him. You can't commune with him. And communing, by the way, is not on the level generally of we hear a sound in our ears and we say something. God can use us to speak and we might hear something, but it's way down in here. That spiritual religion we tried to talk about last night. You want to be happy? Jesus talked about that in his first sermon. We call it the Beatitudes. He said, blessed is he who... Well, blessed is pretty close to happy. Happy is the man that does thus and so. You want to be happy? You love. You love the Lord. You love your brethren. And you even love a lost world. Knowledge provides light to the intellect. Righteousness gives us peace. Love gives us happiness and blessedness. In fact, I think that's a big part of happiness in heaven. In fact, love is a prerequisite for heaven. You can't get to heaven without love. And if you could, you would not be comfortable there. Man. Unless you had love in your heart. Because, I mean, it's going to be love from the atmosphere to the streams. Jesus is love. God is love. He sits upon a throne. He's established upon love itself.
You wouldn't be happy if you couldn't be a part of that. But praise the Lord, I'm going to see that love of God. And there's going to well up in my heart a soul of love that has never been here, that this flesh would not contain. So it is a prerequisite to go to heaven. Well, I want to conclude. I want you to ask yourself the question tonight. Do you have that love? I can't look down your heart and see that. That's between you and God. Somewhere it's necessary for you to have had before you come to death an experience with the Lord that you know is real, and you felt that peace with God and that love of God. Then I pray if you get that, that it will grow. That it will blossom. Sometimes it is so great it seems that we cannot contain it. 1st time I ever shouted was right over in this area. My heart was full. Not Brother Gerald got saved. If you have love for Him, you will have a desire to obey and to please Him and to glorify Him. I feared my daddy. I mentioned that the other night because of punishment. But you know what I feared a whole lot more? I feared losing his respect and that communion with him. I obeyed a lot of times just because I love my daddy and my mama. I pray that I could live on that level with the Lord. That it'd be above fear that I'd do so because I love the Lord. And I do not want to displease him, and I want that communion. Continual communion with him. I mentioned a while ago, I think love and happiness are inseparable. Disobedience and torment are inseparable also. If you're a Christian, you know why that love is. Cultivate it. Cherish it. What would you trade for the favor of God? Preach a sermon, I think I preached it here, about the cost of sin. I believe it's Judah. He went to a, we call it a prostitute now. And he didn't have the price. He wanted a couple sheep or something, I think. And so he gave her his signet ring and his rod. And so a little later, he sent one of his men down to retrieve those and pay the woman, won't call her lady, pay the woman in with the sheep or whatever it was. And they found out the woman was his daughter-in-law. And he found out the price of sin was a whole lot more than what he thought it was. And you're going to find the price of sin is a whole lot higher than Satan says it is. What's your communion with God worth? You can't have that and see Him.
Amen.
You gotta love the Lord. If you're lost, I would point you to Jesus. I can assure you by the authority of the Word of God that God loves you. I don't think you can really realize that now because you don't have a heart that you feel with. You will believe it. You'll believe that Jesus came and that he died for you. And that he is a rewarder of them that come to him. The moment that you repent and believe that, you'll be saved. And you'll have a new heart and you'll know what love is. While we stand and sing, on behalf of this church, I'd like to invite you to come seek the Lord. Once you look down your heart, is there that love there that God gives? I'm not talking about the love you have for your brothers and sisters. That's a natural love that God gave us, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. God gave it to us. But you need a love that is eternal, that is pure, and comes from the throne of God. Can you really say you love God? You can't. You're not being saved. That's just another facet that you can look and examine down there. You had that spiritual experience we talked about last night? Do you love the Lord? Do you know that the Lord loves you? If you don't, we invite you to come seek the Lord while we stand and sing.
349 in the red book.